actor, narrator, storyteller, person who has a little bit of a sore throat, which you probably can hear a little bit if you're used to hearing my voice. In this episode, well, it's not what I would call amazingly polished, but yeah, I debated even recording it because there's a part of me that worries that maybe it's not good enough, or it's going to sound like I am simply ranting. But I also know there's value in naming things, in saying out loud what's usually kept quiet. So today, I'm talking about grief, gaslighting, and family. Specifically, the kind of family that disappears when you stop apologizing for who you are. Welcome to Fuck This Shit, a memoir in progress. So I haven't had a meaningful conversation with most of my siblings in years. I've heard some of them say, you know, it's not because you're gay. That's not why. And I hear that. And I think maybe. But maybe it's not because I'm gay. Rather, maybe it's because now I'm boldly gay. I have a backbone. I started speaking up about the verbal and spiritual abuse from the church, about the homophobia from church leaders, from family friends, and from family. And I started speaking up about the twisted theology that the religion that my family follows has when it comes to the topic of being gay. And I've stopped being quiet about being treated like I don't exist. Unless I was doing, like, performing, unless I was helpful or doing something in service. You know, it's when I found that and have started to do that I really noticed they vanished. Funny how that works, isn't it? So there's grief here, quite a bit of it. I will admit, some days this grief, it hits when I see other gay men casually out with their moms, posting brunch pics with their families, with their dad, you know, doing Christmas with their siblings and in-laws. Like, it's no big deal. And I feel this wave of sadness, not jealousy exactly, but grief. I brought my boyfriend to Christmas one time. Once, and it was hard, like way harder than it should have been. And there was, I will say, like, there was some tension, but the siblings actually that I haven't talked to forever weren't there. So it wasn't as tense as it could have been. So sure, some of the feelings that I had around that certainly were because this was new. Also, I, over the time, have had this feeling of having to perform really tightly choreographed versions of who I am because, you know, this sort of this version of acceptable gayness, just to be, you know, tolerated in family spaces. And that's so tiring and it's not worth it. You know, so I did that for way too long. And, you know, in the midst of all this too, like, I can name every boyfriend like my sister has. Not just one of them, actually. I can name all of them. But specifically, this one sister that I have. And I was in her wedding. I know her husband. I've picked out books, good books, for each of her kids because I know them well enough to know what book they would actually like to read. I say that as an example of I've shown up. I have proven over and over and over with my actions that I am capable of love of being in healthy, beautiful relationships. And this one sister that I'm thinking of, I think maybe one time in like, not in real life, but just like in a text or something, she asked about like, oh, vaguely something about like maybe that one guy that maybe you know, your friend. And my other siblings in general just haven't really dug into that either, about my partners, about who I have loved in my life. And I get it. Like family doesn't necessarily need to or want to dig into like who your boyfriends are. I say that actually. I think that's an excuse. I actually do think that it's family's job to take an interest in your life. I have been met in my family by mostly mute silence. And in sometimes worse than that, silence in the presence of homophobic slurs. That is grief. I have grief from hearing my mom and her fanatical friend call gay people pedophiles. Grief from knowing my parents whispered about our gay uncle being quote-unquote unsafe around the kids. Grief because my family has chosen a religion, chosen it over me, over knowing me. They've picked theology, dogma, twisted interpretations of scripture that say queers and gays and lesbians are less than. And the cost is me. I exist. I am here. I have always been here. And they chose not to know me. I spent decades trying to earn this existence or earn something. You know, I would tell myself if I said it just the right way, or if I explain myself, or if I show that I am helpful and valuable, that somehow that brings worth to this relationship of me being in this family. That maybe my siblings would have an interest and support me. I will say this. I think I've learned that it turns out that clarity, like real clarity, comes at a price. And that price is hope. Not the good kind. Like the hope that I had. Like the kind of hope that like keeps you in this trapped loop of like, maybe someday they will accept me. Maybe if I just show them, you know, that they will do that. Like that kind of hope. Like I've had to let that hope die. Like I've had to take a knife and slit the throat of that hope and let it bleed out and die into the dirt because I see the truth. They don't want me. They want the version of me that's safe, that's easy to pretend and not have to talk about, that I'm gay. They want the version of me that isn't vocal. They want the version of me that's docile. They want the version of me that's quiet. They want the version of me that isn't a mirror to the dysfunction that they'd rather not name. And I'm not giving them that version anymore. So now I'm finding my way. It's hard, like it's weird, and I'm building chosen family, and this isn't glamorous. Like there's such beautiful moments in it, but overall, this is not like pride float magic and found family montages. Even though I've had some of that, if you've listened to any of these episodes previous to this one, you'll hear that I've had some amazing moments building this chosen family of mine. But I will say it's been slow going, and yeah, maybe slow growing is a good way to say it too. It's people showing up. It's not out of obligation for me. It's out of like real love, real acceptance. It's healing conversations with like my good friend, my buddy Brian, over a meal. It's us talking about life. It's friends who text me and say, "Hey, we're all getting together on Friday night. Come over." That's what family looks like for me now, and I am really proud of it. Even when I still ache, even when I remember that the people I used to call home haven't really opened that door for me. So I'm not really wrapping this up with a clean bow. I know this isn't a TED Talk. This is some of my grief. I have rage, and I want to say that I'm hopeful that I'm not mid-process. I feel like mid-process is what people would understand. Like I'm kind of in between, but I feel like I'm hoping that I'm a little bit further along than just in the middle. I just want to say too, you are lovable. You are worthy. You are not too much. You're just not willing to shrink anymore. And that's part of what healing is and what healing can look like. If you've made it this far, let me just say thanks. Thanks for listening. Yeah, if you're any of those things, like I said, if you're in the middle of your own memoir in progress, and it sometimes sounds like a scream, a sob, or even silence, yeah, me too. I would love it if you drop me a message, tell me who your chosen family is, or even tag somebody. You and me, we deserve people who choose us. Ask about our lives, who say, "I'm proud of you, not in spite of who you are, but because of it." I'm Paul Cram. This is Soft Weird. And this has been the episode, Fuck This Shit, a memoir in progress. Smooches.